And the Sadducees came up to Peter and John, greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that this man had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with this man? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayers to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hands to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the reading of the word.
Amen. Welcome again, those of you who are new here. And we look forward to receiving our new members today. And we thank God. It's not because of us as SIC. It is because of what God is doing in our lives. Amen? Amen. And today we continue. Let me just pause there. Hopefully this will work. Oh yeah, it works. Okay. It's been fascinating just sitting with a man yesterday at the men's fellowship. We were talking about this chapter that we're going to look at together today. But I want to begin with a story. In Fiji, in my home country, there's a lot of crazy drivers. And we all know that. Seth has probably experienced that. Bus drivers, probably in many other cultures, you know, crazy drivers. And so here was this pastor and a bus driver. They died and they went to heaven. And so when they were in heaven, they were all looking forward. They've been welcome. So they were looking forward. And then the Lord came and said to, oh, welcome to heaven. And I want to show you guys your mansion as promise. Well, they were all looking forward. The pastor was looking forward and was imagining, oh, I wonder what my mansion is going to be, all the things that I've done. So they came and he turned to the bus driver. Bus driver, let me start with you. I'm going to show you your mansion. So they came and said, that's your mansion. And it was this incredible mansion. Wow, the glorious. Are you sure that's mine? Yep, that's yours. And so the bus driver went ahead and was so happy about the mansion that he got when he in heaven. And so the pastor was going, oof, if that's his mansion, I wonder what's mine, you know. So he was looking forward, anticipating to get his to look at his mansion, and all his mind was playing up with all kinds of imagination. And then he came, and then there was a small mansion. And the pastor looked at it and kept looking. And so the Lord said, "That's welcome to your mansion. That's your mansion." The pastor said, "Whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Stop right there. How come the bus driver have a big mansion and I only have this little mansion? I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to have a big mansion." Well, said the Lord, well, the thing is this. When you preach, people sleep. When the bus driver drives the bus, everybody call out, "Jesus, save me, save me." So through his driving, a lot of people came to the Lord. So I want to be the bus driver. I don't want to be the pastor. Well, more story coming today. Last week, these 2 weeks, we've been talking about the wonderful story of the book of Acts and how Luke wrote down all he can to bring us a glimpse of what happened in the early churches. God promised that he will pour the Spirit of God, the Spirit to all mankind. That is in the book of Joel. And then Jesus, after his death and his victorious resurrection and ascension to heaven, not only send the Holy Spirit, He filled his disciples, his people, with the Holy Spirit. He was the only person, apart from every other prophet, In the Old Testament, we read that they God called them for certain tasks and certain service throughout the history of the Old Testament and empower them with the Holy Spirit. And now in the New Testament, the book of Joel prophesied that in the last days, I will pour my spirit unto all mankind. And then Jesus walked this earth full, not partly, filled with the Holy Spirit. Full, the only person that is full with the Holy Spirit. His miracles and everything that he did on this earth was empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life until his death and his resurrection and his ascension. And now he sent the Holy Spirit into the church of Jesus Christ, the church that he said that he will start. And he poured the fullness, not partly, the fullness of his Holy Spirit to the early church. And if we go back here, let me just try this technology. We look at the church, and in here, the Holy Spirit in the life of a new believer brings new birth. He dwells in believers. The Holy Spirit gives assurance to believers' salvation. We were going to look at that today. The Holy Spirit opens the believer's understanding to the things of God. The Holy Spirit teaches and guides us into all truth. He strengthens you and I and our inner being. He brings renewal to us. He imparts life into our life. He enables us to pray. He speaks to us. He enables believers to worship God in spirit and in truth. He leads us. He enables us to put away those lives, worldly lives, that we are still struggling in, and help us to be victorious on those areas. He produces Christ-like character and fruits in our lives. He empowers us to be bold witness for Christ. We'll look at that today. He imparts to us spiritual gifts. All of us, as believers in Christ, God has given us special gifts for the work of God. He calls and guides us to believers, all of us in our ministry. He brings about resurrection to us on the last days, and that's what he does to us. In the life of a church, we read, let me go. And then what happened? There was the 3,000 people came after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We all know that. 3,000 of them came and they begin to gather together as remnant and believers in Christ. So the beginning, that began the first church in the New Testament. So what kind of church it was? The impact of the Pentecost brought these to the life of a church. A spirit-filled church is a learning church. So these new members of the early church, they dedicate themselves to the apostle in learning about God and his word. They were a loving church, so they fellowship together. They look after one another. They look after the poor and those who are in need. They even sell some of their property. The level of commitment that they have in that time was incredible. Those who have lots, the rich who were there as Christians, they didn't walk in pride or haughtiness. And those who are poor among them don't have to be ashamed of what they have. So there was this commonality that bring them together. And that is, first of all, their fellowship was with Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit, and then with each other. It was a worshiping church. They worshiped together. They worship in the temple, and they also gather together in homes and break bread and worship together. They give thanks to the Lord. This is in Acts chapter 2. They give thanks not only for what he has done, but because of who he is as a sovereign, a wonderful, a powerful God that keeps his promises. And also, it was an evangelistic church, a spirit-filled church. is a church that has a deep relationship with the Word of God. A spirit-filled church is a loving church. The commitment they have with each other. They are not too slow to come to people's need. They share their resources and their wealth with each other. They look after those who don't have much, as I've said before. Those who are rich in this group, they didn't walk in pride. Oh, I have a lot. You in need? Let me provide for you. But there is this incredible humility in them. And those who are poor among them, as I said before, there is this dignity, because not only that their dignity comes from the redeeming work of Christ that they all have in common. And they were an evangelistic church. It says that God keep adding every single day, keep adding people, keep adding numbers. And the book of Acts, if we look at it, it doesn't really have an ending. It doesn't have a closure, because it's supposed to continue this work and this experience that Luke described in the book of Acts shouldn't stop. It should continue for ages and chapters and hundreds of chapters and thousands of chapters. And we are part of writing and be part of compiling together and continue the book of Acts today. Amen? That's the life of the church. It says that God was involved in bringing them numbers. As they become a learning church, they have a relationship with the apostle, they listen to the teaching of the Word of God, and they're willing to apply it in their lives, and the truth of the Word of God transform their lives, so they become one. God was dealing with them in every single thing. They were loving one another. There is this incredible deep love for each other, as Christ loved the church. Worshiping. There was a delight in worship. So all these things they have, and what happened? God began to add with them numbers. Now, we look at this. It's a wonderful thing to see. But the story of the book of Acts is not only, wonderful, yes, hallelujah, and God is doing great things. In the midst of these great things, this ship that's cruising with the wind of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I mentioned the wind. Let me just pause there a little bit. In 2012, I was in Fiji with my children. At this time, they were aware of the surrounding. The last time we were there, they were young, so they don't remember a lot of things. Now, if you travel to Fiji, if you're thinking of traveling to the Pacific, I would encourage you to go not on Christmas, but during summertime here, because Christmas is cyclone season. A lot of cyclone. So we've experienced a lot of cyclone. And so while we were there, my brother-in-law was there with us. An incredible hurricane came. So that night we were lying on the bed, and the kids, we opened the window, and they saw the power of the cyclone. My brother-in-law was praying, you know, in his room. Never experienced anything like that before. And I've never heard him pray like that before either. He doesn't, you know, and he was going for it, just praying that the house wouldn't be pulled out of the ground. As we said there, Josiah and Akanisi, so we were watching big trees, mango trees, coconut trees, the lampposts went down, you know. So the next day, we went outside and we saw the devastating effect of this. One thing about the cyclone, you don't see the wind. This is the wind. Like the tornado, you can see and identify a tornado. In hurricane and cyclone, you can't see it. But you will see and witness its effect. It leaves behind its impact. It's marked. And the Holy Spirit does that to his church. We may not see him personally, but he's one of the persons of the Trinity. We're going to learn more about that as we go. We will take one sentence, just focus, who is this person from creation all the way to now? And it's a wonderful thing. And it encourages our, and we've been robbed as Christians. We've been robbed away because of our different perspective of who the Holy Spirit is. And when we grasp who it really is, oh, it is amazing. And here we will read. So what happened now? Now we go to the chapter 3. And we saw something happen. Peter and John went to the temple. And there was, now remember, these guys were just fishermen. Peter, an unschooled person, their background, they were not, they didn't come from a top class society. They were ordinary fishermen. And here it was, as we see in the book of Acts, that the Holy Spirit was behind the power and the hand of Peter and the apostles. It was the power of God using a humble vessel to do mighty things. Amen? And that is what it does. So they went up to the temple, and there was a crippled man. He's been crippled from birth, and everybody knows this man. And then suddenly one morning, Peter came there, so the crippled man was there. He was asking them for something, like he always do, begging. Peter and John said, gold and silver, I have none, in the name of Jesus, rise up. Bang, it happened. And the people, I mean, they were marveled. A miracle just happened right before them. And then people started together to see what was going on. And then Peter took time, full of the Holy Spirit, took time to preach and speak. And a powerful, incredible sermon that he did. And it says that about 5,000 people add to their numbers. A person walk with Jesus Christ. A person who is surrendered. This same Peter is the person who denied Jesus. Are you the follower of Jesus? No, no, no. I don't know him. I don't know that man. Jesus, are you sure? Nope, I don't know Jesus. Mm-mm. And here he was, the same man, after he bring his life before God and repent and humble himself before Jesus. And we see here a man who is sold out for God, who gave everything, his whole life, for Jesus. And we see how easy the Holy Spirit come upon them, unhindered, to do his mighty, powerful work. Amen? So this crippled man was healed. I remember we were in our, when I was with YWAM, you know, we've seen many miracles happen. And we, after one of our teachings, we went to mission, another part of the world. So we were praying, actually it was in Brazil. We were praying that God will do something. So my team, we took a train, we were going to do witnessing in the city of Rio. So these are young people. And now, few months before we came to Brazil, as I was preparing our mission trip, I was asking God, please give me a word that we can take with us to Brazil. What is that? So after many hours of waiting and praying together with the rest of the leaders, the work that came was signs and wonders. You know, it was like, oh, okay. So we came, and I shared with the 32 members of my team from New Zealand. I tell them, I believe, I want us to pray, because something is going to happen on this trip that is going to change your life, all of you young people. And so we were there. So they got that word. So a few months later, we were riding the train of this crowded train in Brazil on our way. And then right in front of me, a person just collapsed. And so there were a few people in front of me. And I was holding the train, the railing, and I saw the person went down. It was a convulsion, you know, things were going on. There was So we know that something was wrong, terribly wrong with this man. And so everybody came and they were trying to resuscitate this man. And then some of the police came in one of the stops. They were holding their baton and poking this man's body, lying there helplessly. And I'm standing there, and the only thing that comes to my mind was a few months ago in our prayer, signs and wonders. And I said, I am not moving out of here, not in front of these people. And I stayed there. And I look at the kids, they were all looking at me. And in their mind was, you know, remember what you share with us. And I am not moving. I didn't say anything. I just, there is no way I will go and do something. There's a lot of crowd. It's embarrassing. And all these fleshy things were coming up in my mind. And then suddenly I just felt to do something. Okay, I'm in a foreign land. Nobody will remember me. So it doesn't matter. So I step out, put my hand, and so everybody thought I was a doctor, which was a good thing. I didn't say, but that's what they said after. Oh, we thought you were a doctor. So I came and I just prayed for that man. I prayed for healing. And then suddenly, after a few minutes, you know, trying even tried to resuscitate him, I started coughing. And the first person he saw was me, was there. And I didn't even know that I forgot all my fears and worries and I shouldn't do this. I just went out and did it. And here was this man standing up with all the stuff from his mouth, kissing me and hugging me. Obrigada, obrigada, obrigada. So everybody was clapping in the train, you know. And after a while, I felt, everybody, I look at my team, 32 young people, teenagers, were just staring at me. And they all remember what God told us before we came. 2 days later, they were all empowered. So they were ready to do some stuff. So we went down, and then there were a few people, street people, and then one was lying just like he was dead. And then one street kid came, hey, come, we'll pray for my friend. He's dying. So the interpreter and some other staff, they went with this group, and our teenagers, they were right in front. Okay, we're going to see more stuff happen. They came and they saw this guy lying on the bench. They start praying for him. And then he started moving. And we were both like, and then the guy said, no, not that one. That is a drunk man. Over here. Yeah, no, that guy is drunk. Over this side. The excitement. God uses ordinary people just like you and I. And then here we see a situation that happened. Apostle preaches to the crowd, and the council bring. Now, something happened. Something provoked the leaders, the Sanhedrin. And it is about this, the healing of this man and the preaching of Peter. And here he stood in front of them, and they asked him one of the questions, probably one of the most important questions they asked him. In whose name by what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and leaders of the people, I like this, I want to read it out. If we have been called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a crippled man, and I ask how he was healed, then know this, you and all people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed today. And Jesus Christ, he is the stone you builders rejected, which has come to be the capstone. And verse 12 said, salvation is found in nothing else, no other name. For there is no name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. That is a very, very incredible powerful statement. I remember a pastor, I will tell you another story. I remember a pastor, a story of a pastor, very successful church. And then he went and asked this particular individual, a man who's been coming to his church for a long, long time, for many years. And he asked the guy, he said this, "Why is it that you don't want to be the member of our church? You've been coming here for ages, for years. Why can't you become a member?" I said, "Well, do you really want to know?" "Yes, I want to know." "I don't believe everything you say." I said, "What?" The pastor said, "You've been coming here for years. You sit here every Sunday and you tell me that you don't believe in everything that I say?" He said, "Yeah, but let me explain to you. I really believe that you believe what you're preaching about. I believe that you believe what you're preaching about. And I like to hear people who talk about what they believe. So I don't believe in what you're preaching. But I believe in you because you believe in what you're preaching on. That's why I come to church. I like to hear people preach about the things that they believe." And he's been coming for 3 years, for many years in that church. You know what separates us from being just a church goer is the foundation that we claim with boldness, that we belong to Jesus Christ, that we have benefited from his death and his resurrection and his ascension, and we believe that he will come again. Amen? If you are here and you are uncertain of where you are, you better be certain who you are coming here for. Like this man, he said, "I came here because I hear and I believe that you believe what you say. And I'm listening to you." And some of us, maybe for years that we've been coming to church, we haven't really made this cornerstone that we are rejecting to become the capstone of our life. Amen? If we want to experience the fullness, the operation of the Holy Spirit in our life, this beautiful person of the Holy Spirit in our life and in our church, then it's time for us to open our hearts and say, "I believe in you. I did." These were religious people. They were not atheists that Peter was talking to. They were religious people. They were so religious that they were blinded by their religiousness. And then Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, brought about the gospel of salvation for all mankind, including you and I. Amen. And this gospel in the book of Acts went all over the world. It went through persecution. We are going to talk about that later in the coming days. It went through persecution. This wonderful sheep wasn't just cruising. It's about to engage in some of the toughest storm to see that Christianity, the hope that we all hold on tightly, will never fade away. And it's still here today. Amen? As a result, they cannot deny the power of God. They said, "Go. Please go, but it'll be nice for you not to be talking about this." These are the very people you read in this chapter. Those, Sanhedrin, those religious leaders who put Jesus on the cross. Caiaphas and Ananias and all those. And here Peter, the man who denied Jesus, turned away from his lack of faith in Jesus, stood with boldness. The world is waiting for a church that we are going to step out. We don't need to push the truth. The truth will bring its own result. We just be willing to be a vessel that the Holy Spirit would use us to bring people into the kingdom of God. Amen? That's us. Don't underestimate your presence. Don't ever underestimate where you are. Never underestimate your capacity to be used by God. The Spirit is with us. It doesn't matter if you're a mother, if you're unemployed, if you're cycling around the world like my brother there. It's good to see him again. We met here a few years ago. Whatever you do, be ready to be that vessel that God will use. The power of God and the main actor here is not Peter and Paul, Peter and John. It is the power of God, and they become vessel of this. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We don't want to be like the person who comes to the pew all the time. We want to be like Peter, who know the foundation that we're standing on. An eternal, unwavering, unshakable stone. And that is you, our foundation. The foundation of our faith. We thank you. Let's just take a moment to be silent. Maybe there are silent prayer you want to pray to God today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I believe we've been encouraged by the word this morning, and in line with that, we'll continue our service to welcome new family members.
I'm Samuel from Nigeria.
It's Derek Jalbu from Scotland.
David Ibrahim from Indonesia.
Reni Octavia, I come from Indonesia.
Saninita, I come from Indonesia, and Saya Cinta SIC.
Sugianto Gandhi from Indonesia.
This is Ezra from Philippines.
Hi, I'm Carrie. I'm from Butte, Montana in America.
Hi, I'm Andrew from the UK.
Hi, I'm from Ghana.
Kennedy Candida, I'm from Cameroon.
Digita, I'm from Indonesia.
I'm Ferry Simulan, I'm from Indonesia.
Charles from Ghana.
Hey, I'm from Norway.
I'm Diane, I'm from Canada. I just love being here in Norway.
Ari, I'm from Indonesia.
My name is Indonesia.
I love SIC.
I love the SIC.
I love so much SIC. Bye-bye.
These persons come to us from other churches and will become members of Stavanger International Church today. As I read your names, I think we have about four families or so.
Maybe we need to give a hand of celebration. Okay? We have members here today.
So, as read out your names, we'd like to like you to step out to come to the front of the congregation, please. Angi Putra, Miriam Sally, Medhat Nadi Youssef, Siyal Elkana Moshi, Sifaye Degasa Aminu, Napoleon Diaz, Kristen Amy Diaz, Isabella Polini Diaz, Johan Butler, Samuel Johan Butler, Jacob Opoku, Grace Opoku, Rachel Opoku, Maria Opoku, David Opoku, MOC Nbakeke, Nambakeke, so I do apologize for that. Finua Nambake? Finau. Okay. It's spelled differently, it's pronounced differently the other way around. Okay. Ayla Nambakeke? Junior Nambakeke? Ipi Nambakeke? Dodo Pongandin? Elizabeth Christovina. I believe we're missing some of the new members today.
Yeah, some are not here.
Okay.
But they have officially registered as member of our
church. Okay. All right. So.
As we are witnessing a glorious day, yeah? I think we need to stand up and clap. For those of you who are still thinking and praying about being a member, I would really want to consider you to prayerfully. As we begin the reception, I want us to acknowledge a word of encouragement for you guys, is that your presence as individual is very important. Your presence. You are here, just your presence. Even if you have the most difficult time of your life, yeah? Just seeing you brings joy to others. Just your presence. Sometimes it's not what we say. Sometimes it's just us being there and being with each other is enough. And that's what we want to say to all of you here, Nambukeke family, the Diaz family, our brother and sister from Tanzania and Ethiopia, from Indonesia and from Egypt, and from Ghana and England. God is faithful to us. God has not forgotten this church. And so if you are here and you do not know what God has called you to do, I encourage you to pray about what you should be involved in and engage yourself in the ministry of SIC. Amen? Amen. Now we're going to do the reception, and I will read it out. Dear friends, we rejoice to receive you as members of SIC into our fellowship in the gospel. SIC is part of one holy, universal, and apostolic church. As part of being a member in our church now, I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all forces of evil and devil and all his empty promises? If it is yes, say, I do. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Amen. God's word and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of Christ through your words and deeds, to serve other people following the example of Jesus, to participate fully in this congregation's life by your prayers, your presence, your gift, and service. Now I want to address the congregation, the member of SSC, and you, the people of God at the Stavanger International Church. Will you receive these people as fellow members of this faith community? Pray for them and share with them all the gifts of grace given to us here.
We will.
The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome. Though we come from different backgrounds, we are one in Christ. We trust that together we may grow in faith and action as Christ's ambassadors. Ladies and gentlemen of SIC, please show your appreciation to the new members of SIC. I will also encourage us to get to know them, know something about one another, fellowship together, care for one another. You may wish them welcome once again. Thank you.
Growth group leaders, you have a fair number of people from whom additional members. Just encourage them. At this time, we're going to go ahead and take up our tithes and offerings. If you're visiting with us, feel no pressure to give. This is our church's service to the Lord, our support of this ministry here. So if you are visiting, please let the plate pass. Members, please contribute. If you want to use the bank machine at the back, please feel free to use that. Thank you.
We thank you that you've given us the opportunity to bring into your storehouse so that there may be food. We ask, O Lord, that the resources that you have provided to us and what you have contributed today, Lord, we ask, Lord, that it be used judiciously, will be used to glorify your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we remember the areas where you have crisis at the moment. We remember Syria, Iraq. We also remember the refugee crisis confronting Europe at this present time. Father God Almighty, we ask that you teach the heads of these governments and these states to guide them in the right direction in how to address this current crisis, as it appears they are struggling to manage it efficiently. Father God Almighty, we also pray, Lord, as your people, that as we go out, that you strengthen us. We pray, O Lord, that as we will be meeting with people, interacting with different people, Lord, when people ask us, or whenever we are asked, what is your gospel, Lord, we ask that you fill us with your spirit, that we may speak boldly about you, in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, throughout this week, Lord, all our endeavors, all our undertakings, Lord, we ask that you guide us. We ask that you empower us, that your awesomeness and righteousness will shine through us, and people will know that we are yours in everything that we do. For we have asked and prayed in your name, O Lord. Father God Almighty, we'll conclude this prayer now in the way you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please, as you're standing, receive the benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you, now and forevermore, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace and have a blessed week.
Before the final.